to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, I just think you do a phenomenal job. I mean, you really are really listening to what I'm saying, and you're really finding the connections and kind of weaving everything together to really have a more powerful message for your audience. And I'll be honest, you actually helped me learn about myself through this as well. So no, it was a very powerful conversation with you. Thank you.
Hey, welcome everybody. It is We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Monday, here we are. You're tuning in again. I'm so glad you're here. We Mentor Inc., along with donations and sponsors from leaders like you, fund this podcast. And for those of you who don't know, We Mentor Inc. is an innovative mentoring community I founded in 1992, where small business owners build seven-figure businesses and become the leaders they envision themselves to be. They reveal who they are and connect with their inner selves as they redesign and keep building their business. And you can get involved in a number of ways. Why don't you start? If you're not subscribed to my podcast program, go to wementor.com and check it out, get involved, and look at our mentoring programs, because I would love to talk with you about helping you grow your business in a way that you can maintain your sanity and learn more about yourself as you grow your business. So we're lucky enough to have Dr. Daniel Libby in the studio. He founded the Veterans Yoga Project in 2014, it became an entity. But he wrote a blog, and by the way, hi, Daniel.
Hi, Nancy.
Nice
to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's so great to continue our conversation. I just think there's so much to talk about, and in terms of our psychological well-being and handling fatigue and burnout, which is where we started kind of the overwhelm and anxiousness that you were feeling at the big start of our last conversation. And and fatigue and burnout is a common theme that you're seeing. But before we get into that and how you built your nonprofit entity, we can talk about like the challenge of running your organizations, which we had talked about before, when you really just wanted to start to teach yoga to veterans, you know, how this all juggling everything is kind of a lot. And you had written this wonderful blog. And so in quotes, over the past few years, Veterans Yoga Project has grown into a village of veterans and civilians who do incredible work supporting our veterans, families, and communities. What was once a small intention to make yoga available as an important complementary part of trauma treatment has matured into an organization that is poised to be a sustainable force for good in the world that supports veterans through all stages of recovery and resilience. The Veterans Yoga Project Village now includes 8 board members, 13 regional directors, 35 veteran ambassadors, 5 executive staff, numerous other volunteers, and thousands of individual donors sharing the tools of breathing, meditation, movement, rest, and gratitude with veterans and their families around the country and in Canada too. So you continue writing that in addition to the growth of the organization, personnel-wise, we have been working hard to institute the technology and procedures needed to measure the impact of our work. We are now able to report, for example, that in the month of July 2016, which is when this was written, Veterans Yoga Project offered over 70 mindful resilience classes across 19 locations in 7 different states. These facilities include the Veterans Association Medical Centers, the Vet Centers, yoga studios, college campuses, and YMCA. Of the over 470 class visits recorded, 408 were veteran and active duty visits. The remaining students were composed predominantly of treatment staff and our family. Approximately 77% of all the participants were male and 23% were female. And you also have graphs. So people can go to the veteransyogaproject.org to check out the statistics and also see it's a beautifully beautiful example of how to design a website that really speaks to exactly the mission of the organization, gives you wonderful pictures, and also outlines your programs and gives you graphs. I like the graphs that you put together. Really shows, you know, the mark that you're making in the world. What are you thinking now, a couple years later, after writing this blog?
It's so interesting that you read that, and thank you for that, because that was, again, I think in 2016, perhaps?
Yes.
And those numbers that you quote have all grown exponentially. We're now serving, you know, between 1,500 and 2,000 veterans a month documented, in addition to the teachers that don't get their data to us in a timely fashion. And we were talking in our last call about, you know, counting our wins, right, and really celebrating the good work that we do, because part of what burnout it consists of is this idea that we discount what we're doing in the world and we minimize, you know, the positive impact that we're making. And so just hearing that is, you know, great. And so thank you for that. So I can see that we've doubled, almost tripled some of those numbers.
And how does that feel?
Question was, I'm sorry. It feels great. Actually, it feels like that's very satisfying. I feel, thank you for doing that. I feel really quite, again, we were talking in our last call about how you, especially if you're the one running the organization and all the problems, all that crap rolls uphill, your focus day to day is on all the problems and you don't see the actual good that you're doing. And I'm a sufferer of this syndrome myself. And so providing these monthly reports now, right? So that was the first time you were saying, like, that's when we first started doing these monthly reports. If you look on our website now and you get the most recent report of April 2018, you can see the graphs. You know, I love graphs too, right? You can see in pictures of, like, what are we actually doing? But in addition, we're also getting the comments from our veterans who are telling us that this shit saved my life. Sorry. Pardon the French. That we're getting both that quantitative and qualitative data about the impact of our work. So that is certainly part of it. And then, you know, to come back to your whole point, this it all ties in to this idea of compassion fatigue, of burnout, of secondary traumatic stress. If you happen to be working with populations that are dealing with trauma, like we are, then as practitioners, you're at risk of sort of absorbing some of that emotional residue. And so all of these practices that we promote are wonderful because they address both not only your leadership challenges, how can you be stronger in the world and be a stronger and better and more mindful leader, but can also help you deal with the heaviness of whatever else it is that you're carrying.
Right. And I find amongst business owners that they're not taking very good care of themselves. And there's a reluctance to, even when I incorporate it in leadership training, there's a little pushback of, oh, I don't know if I want to do yoga in the middle of the day. I mean, I really just want to stay in my head.
Yeah. And you know what? And how's that working for you? If that works for you, okay. My experience is that that we burn out, right? That we can all do that for so long, and that eventually you do need the break because this is your life and you need to be, or at least I need to be, and one of the things that I work on is being a little bit more conscientious about where I spend my time and my energy, because what I give out in the world is what I get. So if I am pushing myself and saying that I'm not worthy of taking a lunchtime break and taking a walk, which actually might and right, you know, research bears this out. You get more creative. You're actually more effective when you are taking care of yourself.
Right.
And that's the thing. And so I think that's part of the issue, is educating people that do push back and say, well, I don't have time to take care of myself. I mean, it's bull crap, really, right? Like, it is. And the truth is that you would be better off, and you would be a better leader. You would be more efficient if, right? And I guess I could say I would be more efficient, and I would be a better leader the more I take care of myself.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's, we both have our work cut out for us. But I think
to say, like, the whole idea of compassion fatigue or burnout isn't equated to taking care of yourself. Because I think that's a misnomer, is that we think, oh, well, I just need to take care of myself. I think there are specific techniques, again, and this comes back to what we teach in breathing and mindfulness and different meditative and breathing techniques that we have, that can, in the moment, if we know as we're collecting and we're carrying this heavy stuff, if we can self-regulate in the moment and develop that those self-mastery skills in the moment when we're absorbing that stress, then we don't have so much stress to unload when we do take that time to take our morning run or our morning workout. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I do think you need to schedule it. I have found those who schedule a time to do the things that are good for them, that help release the mind, that help self-regulate their emotional stress levels, that they are the ones that, I guess, looking at our businesses more from a marathon perspective, like, you know, taking the time to take the breaks that we need, that we're in this for the long haul. And so it's good to have audacious goals, you know, where you feel like you're stretching yourself and trying to see what you're made of and how fast and far you can build your vision. But you can't, unless you're really taking the time to build in the practices that you can do on a regular basis that will help support you in your whole internal system. Yeah, that's what I guess I love about mindfulness meditation, and I also do mindfulness yoga, is that, and you mentioned some of your veterans who give you some statements about, for example, someone put a quote on your, has told you, my painful feet always feel better after practicing yoga, or I never thought I'd be able to do that, or I couldn't sleep last night. I remembered my breathing practice, so I fell asleep in minutes and slept all night. Those are the things that you're talking about, aren't you, regarding self-regulating in the moment, that when you take these and do these practices on a regular basis, when you really need them in your day, you know, in the work that you're doing, you have access to them, or if you can't sleep, or, you know, that you can use these practices to help you actually be happier.
Yeah. I mean, you just said it all there. one of the vets I work with recently talked to me. We're having a little one-on-one. And he said that one of the things he learned, I guess, when they were clearing out buildings, and again, I'm not the vet, so I don't know how this works, but he said one of the things they learned is slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Right. And so the idea is that when we can slow things down and pay attention, do things consciously, right, then we don't absorb the stresses of those things because we're dealing with them and we're consciously processing them in the moment. We are being in the moment. That is very difficult for many of us to do if there isn't sort of the perfect circumstances or the perfect stimulation. If you're on a mission, perhaps you're on a military mission, you have the, you know, enough of that fight or flight, you know, sympathetic system activity going on to keep you focused and motivated and primed on that goal. To bring that same level of intensity without the stress into our moment-to-moment activities each and every day is part of that challenge. And so the idea of using these tools, right, it really depends on where you, no matter where you're at, you can use these tools, right? If you're someone who's dealing with symptoms of post-traumatic stress and you need to sleep, and because you can't sleep because you've got chronic pain in your feet, right? There are tools that you can use, and it doesn't have to be called yoga. Like, it's not about yoga. It's about breathing. It's about your body. It's about your mind. It's about using, you know, what intention and control we have to train these things so we can create the conditions for success, whether we're trying to eliminate symptoms or whether we're trying to develop our leadership capacity, where we're trying to get stronger and more stable and to be able to lead others, to be able to live in line with our values and goals, that these are all tools about self-mastery. And we simultaneously have to move through our pain, move through our traumas. And at the same time, right, we're building our ability to open up to others and to share with others what we've learned and to take those gifts forward.
Yes, absolutely. Very good. I think we've got some good tips here. And I'm curious to know more about your first idea that you started yoga to teach yoga to veterans and in 2010, and then you ended up developing and forming a nonprofit entity in 2014. Can you tell me a little bit about the time frame between 2010 through 2014? What happened there that you decided that this would be the direction you would like to go?
You're assuming that I made some sort of decision that this was the direction to go. To me, it sort of seems like this has all just happened. And I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I did not really understand what creating a nonprofit organization, this nonprofit business, becoming an executive director, developing a board of directors, having to, like, this was not really in my consciousness, and that's a good thing because I don't know that I would have taken it on. Yeah. And yet it's been one of the wonderful blessings of my life. It is just also one of the challenges that I just didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
Well, did you see, you have the vision that, wow, this could be something greater than what we're doing right now or what I'm doing right now? Or how did that...
Yeah, I think I've always had the vision of what it could be. I just didn't really necessarily put two and two together that, well, I would have to be the one running the show or that I would have to be the one responsible for it. Right. Like, I saw it happening. And the truth is partly that's where the success has come from. If there's one thing I've been good at, it's attracting the most wonderful people in the world. And I have a tremendous staff and volunteer crew that just give so much time and effort into this organization that, it actually will bring me to tears because they put so much love into the mission, right? Mm. It's not about anything, but it's really, as much as I'm in this sort of space where you're dealing with trauma and the pain of the world, what it's really about is the resilience, right? And this is where we're, you know, it's turning compassion fatigue into compassion satisfaction. It's turning compassion fatigue into compassionate resilience. And that there's all of these people that have sort of made it happen. So I think I had the vision and I've just been sort of pushing it along and creating it without necessarily realizing on some level what I was creating. So really, it's really been a very organic process. I never had an intention to run this organization. It's really just been trying to the needs. We started out by teaching yoga teachers because I saw that there was a need that yoga teachers who are working at the VA did have no training in trauma sensitivity. They had no training in military culture. And so created a training, and we train yoga teachers how to work competently, safely, efficiently, and how to best use these practices in a clinical environment. And then we realized we were also training all these teachers. I did this another research study where I surveyed all the PTSD treatment programs in the VA. So it was 170 treatment programs. We got 70%, wow, 125 of those surveys back. And we found out that the biggest barriers to offering yoga to veterans was a lack of trained staff. They didn't have anybody to do it. You know, lack of space, lack of funding was also. And so we published these results in the International Journal of Yoga Therapy in 2012. And so that sort of created this organic movement, like, okay, well, this is what's needed. It's great that we're training these yoga teachers, but there's also a lack of funding and a lack of space. And so now what Veterans Yoga Project does is we liaison with all of these treatment programs. So 50 out of the 100 plus that we're tracking programs are at military or VA treatment facilities, 20 or so are at vet centers. So we're working with veterans mostly in treatment capacity, but also in veterans who are maybe not in a treatment program, who are just out in the community in different levels of resilience and recovery, like with Team Red, White, and Blue, for example. But the organization really grew out of that recognition that there was a need. So now what we do is we fundraise to be able to pay teachers to liaison with these different VA and treatment programs or other community-based veteran service organizations to bring these tools. These are tools that have applicability no matter where you are. And they are tools that, you know, if you, was it Tim Ferriss's book or I shouldn't quote what everyone don't really know, but the idea is that
probably
most of the successful CEOs in this world have some sort of meditation or mindfulness practice, right? They have some sort of practice that brings them back into their mind, their breath, their body. And so we really see these tools as tools that are going to help our veterans, families, and communities. And so I don't know, I sort of went down the rabbit hole a little bit there.
Okay, well, you described...
So I addressed your actual question.
Okay, you did address my actual question. I would like to highlight and just break down a little bit of the startup of this, because it always starts with some idea that's embedded and in the mind of the person. And then there's some resources or something that you uncover to, like, your natural instinct brought you to, gee, I want to do a survey. I want to find out a little bit more. So you did a survey. You found out a little bit more. How big is this need? Oh, wow, this is a really big need. Like, there's a lack of funding and lack of space and lack of trained staff was what prompted you to say, okay, instead of me teaching all the yoga classes, no, I need to train the teachers. So right away you put into place then the mentoring process so that you could grow this on a larger scale, because when you do train the trainers, you know, then you can put people in place who can run the programs. And so you're doing that research in 2012, the survey that revealed all the needs of what now is become the foundation of what you're building the infrastructure of your organization on to address. Is that right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, more or less. That's more or less what we're doing. And really, it's morphed since then, right? Because now, maybe we're taking on too much, but there's a lot of different needs, because the VA is actually gone through an amazing change in itself. And they have this newly developed whole health initiative where they're actually encouraging, and for the first time ever, the VA has a job description for yoga teacher.
Oh, wow.
They are actually hiring yoga teachers now to work at the VA. This is extraordinary.
Yeah.
They're funding 19 individual whole health initiative sites. And, you know, we get to work intricately with a few of these sites to help understand the best way to, you know, make these services available to veterans, and how do you actually integrate these tools into treatments. And so the model of what we do is one where I think one of the challenges as a leader, right, is as the leader, you have to be organized, you have to plan ahead. But we're also working in a field that has rapid changes, and there's developments that are happening. And part of mindfulness is by being able to have your eye on the goal and where you want to be, but also be flexible and to be open-minded to new and changing information.
Right. And your whole population is under is housed under a government entity, or housed within a government entity. So
let me clarify that. Right. So we are a nonprofit organization. We work with the government in the fact that we work individually with clinical directors and clinical team leaders. We get no government funding, and we're not really an officially sanctioned, you know, we have some memorandum of understandings with various VAs, but we're not really...
You're a separate entity.
We're very separate, and we rely on individual and business donations to fund all these classes. Now that the VA is paying yoga instructors, right, they're paying them directly, and so that's where our model now is going to have to shift and change according to the times, because eventually in a few years... And this is just pilot programs at this point, but eventually in a few years, with the right data, hopefully, the VA will be paying for these services. So our job won't be to pay teachers to go teach these classes, but now maybe we're focusing more on developing veteran leaders to become yoga instructors, to which we do now partly as well, as we help scholarship veterans through yoga teacher training so that they can then be eligible for these jobs at the VA as a yoga instructor.
Well, and part of your gift is having a pulse on the opportunity. So as it sounds like, as the opportunity is shifting, because the VA is shifting, and if they add some things that your program was providing because they didn't provide it, then you're needing to stay right on top of that. And so keeping your...
And it's success. I mean, that's success. I am, you know, we weren't directly involved in that in any way, shape, or form, but... I feel very fulfilled by the fact that this is happening. Like, this is actually the change that we want to see in the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's starting to happen and that we do get a chance to support quite a number of these 19 regions is extraordinary. And exactly. So, you know, not letting the organization become more important than the mission. We have to adapt our initiatives so that we are fulfilling the need that's really there, and then now we're just becoming just another organization that exists to sustain itself.
Right. Right?
And I think that's a unique thing, perhaps, about a nonprofit. I don't know.
That's true of
all businesses.
It is true. I remember working in. This reminds me actually of a population here across the country that grew of the homeless shelters. So my husband and I used to volunteer at a men's shelter during the evening, and the men needed to be sober. They were homeless at the time. They all had jobs, but the jobs weren't paying enough for them to be able to afford housing, and so they were in this precarious situation. And so, anyways, in working with and learning about the homeless men, women, and families in the metropolitan area, I found out that the nonprofit was to address the homeless needs. Started with thinking that they would just have this nonprofit for maybe 5 to 10 years. But it ended up, 25 years, 30 years later, they're still running. And surprised that there's still such a need for their services, sadly, but they're filling a really important gap. So I'm using that example because that's what it reminds me of. Like you developed this nonprofit to help with veterans and their families, really address the psychological, emotional, spiritual, and health needs of our veterans because there's a gap in their care. And so that's why you're staying focused on your mission as the veteran services change and they address maybe more whole health initiatives for all these different regional sites. You're trying to stay in touch with that, but who knows how long it will be. Is that what you're saying in growing your nonprofit?
Yeah, I would love for our nonprofit not to be needed in however many years, that there's no need for Veterans Yoga Project, and that would be wonderful. And who knows, maybe we'll get there, and maybe we'll just morph and develop and continue to meet whatever needs are there.
Or maybe there are
a lot of organizations and there's a lot of people doing a lot of hard work to support veterans and veterans' families. and that is very true. And even within the government and the VA, there are extraordinary efforts being made, and still the efforts don't match the need. And so hopefully we'll get to the point where maybe the government meets the need and there won't be a need for a Veterans Yoga Project.
Or the Veterans Yoga Project is expanded through the government, you know. That would be a whole different opportunity.
That would be a whole different thing, yes. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. We're here to serve.
Yeah. Well, I just applaud you in what you're doing, and I hope that, are you involved in any groups yourself for leaders? Mentoring groups or mastermind groups or?
I'm not. I'm not involved in any groups. I do have a coach, an executive coach that I work with that I find extremely useful and very helpful. And certainly the idea of being involved in a group for executive directors has been on my radar, but I use the same excuse everyone else does, right? There's not enough time. But maybe that's something that should be in my future.
Yeah, I would suggest integrating that, because you're in your fourth year of business, really formally, as far as an entity goes. But you've been in 8 years with working with this, that you really need to help with, especially as the entity grows, being around a lot of other people who are growing entities like you are. Is very helpful, both for-profit and non-profit, because then you're with visionaries, and it's really important to be circled around visionaries who can help you and that are further along, but maybe even, and some not as far along, but you get the balance of the different perspectives, and it really helps fill you out as a leader to broaden your perspective and the opportunity that you're trying to create, continue to sustain and build. So that's my little mentoring right tip for you.
Right on. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to say to those on the journey with you as you're going along?
Stay strong and keep doing the work we're doing. I think it matters. I think it matters what we do. And I think it's hard. And life is hard. There are lots of challenges. And the more that we can plant our feet on the ground, the more we can sustain with our breath, with our connection, with, you know, our true purpose, and most importantly with each other, the more successful we'll be. And I think the stakes are great, right? I mean, the world has a lot of challenges, and the more that each of us can do just our little part, right, in our homes and our communities, the better off we'll all be.
Yeah, exactly. And knowing our limits, too, and knowing how to manage ourselves through all these different transitions of growth, both with ourselves and our entity. Well, very great. All right. It was a delight having these two conversations, and I'll look forward to our paths kind of continuing to cross, especially in the yoga field and as business leaders.
Wonderful. Yes, thank you so much for having me on. It was really enjoyable to have these conversations with you, and I'll look forward to connecting again soon.
Okay, great. All right, and thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, brother from another mother, mon frere. We're in this together. Okay. We'll see everybody next Monday. And make sure that you're developing some strategies to master yourself. All right. See you then next Monday.